B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
We got our man who covers the Eagles for the Inquirer. Inquirer.com does such a great job. And it's never dull, man. Let's chop it up with our man, Jeff McClain. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Anthony.
I'll tell you. I gotta tell you, I love this roster, man. I love what Howie's put together here. I'm curious at what you're thinking and what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely upgraded this team on paper, especially on the defensive side, and that's something that they clearly needed to do after last season. I think, you know, Gannon's scheme certainly played a role in how quarterbacks were picking them apart. Don't get me wrong. But the personnel was not what it needed to be. And you've seen them now address, the nose tackle deficiency and whenever they use five-man fronts on rundowns by acquiring Davis. And then you saw them address the edge rushing need by getting Hassan Reddick, a linebacker. Now they've added Kaiser White and drafted N'Kobe Dean.
I like that kid White, by the way. I think he's on the radar. I think he could play. I've watched his tape. I like him.
I do like him. I wonder why, you know, he signed for so cheap and no other team was willing to kind of spend that money or more, mm-hmm. you know, for him.
I talked it up. I don't know about you. I talked it up to more position.
That certainly plays a role in it. You're not going to see off-ball linebackers make a lot of money. There were other guys who got paid. And the Eagles certainly are one of those teams that aren't going to pay a lot for off-ball linebackers. But, yeah, he was a guy I thought that, based upon his performance for the Chargers, would have been a little more of a hotter commodity than he was. He could be just a guy that drifted under the radar, and the Eagles were able to pounce. But yeah, I think there's certainly a little bit of an upgrade there with Alex Singleton gone. You still have Davion Taylor, and then of course in the N'Kobe game, as we mentioned, we have to see how his injury stuff plays out. And then the secondary was obviously there was a glaring holes there at the cornerback and safety, and I think getting James Bradbury is a good signing because of what he means. In terms of zone coverage and the fact that Gannon plays a lot of it, I think Bradbury will allow him to maybe mix in more coverages. And I think one of the issues with John's scheme last year was just disguise. He wasn't able to disguise the schemes very well, partly because of the personnel and what he wanted to do. And this should allow him to do that more and hopefully, you know, confuse quarterbacks and offenses pre-snap. So, yes, I would say, you know, the defense looks better, and that was something they definitely needed to address. All that being said, I've been down this road. You've been around this following this team a long time. They've won off seasons before, and when the season starts, things end up looking a little differently. So I don't want to get too over enthusiastic about what they've done this year because we have to see how things play out. We have to see how training camp goes. We have to see how they look in the preseason, and then we'll get a better grasp on what this team is capable of.
Yeah, no, without doubt. Like, you know, again, it's May, and you know, paper it means nothing. I'm with you. I just look at it, and as a growth and just from sheer roster, a lot of it makes sense. So, you know, you're looking at it kind of clarifying a little bit, and the pieces, and then, Jeff, I mean, that schedule is, I don't want to say easy, because you never know. It's hard to make, you know, any kind of determinations in the spring, but if you're to look at it now, that schedule looks pretty favorable, man.
I would agree. I mean, there's 17 games, a long season. As you, any given Sunday, you know, use all the cliches out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going from playing the AFC West to the AFC South. And the quarterbacks in those divisions are vastly different from one another. So right there, you're benefiting and having an easier schedule than you had last season. And just the way it's set up, you know, the first four games, the combined records of those first four opponents is like almost below 300 winning percentage. So that's a really beneficial start for the Eagles. There's a couple spells in there when they have teams that are coming off playoff appearances, and I think in late November, early December, there's a tough stretch, and then you got three straight on the road, and that'll be, you know, obviously tough to navigate during that time of the year. But overall, I got to agree with you. I mean, look at the quarterbacks they're playing. I mean, there's not top-tier elite guys like you saw last year that just picked them apart. And I think that's what you got to look at when you look at it. When I look at it, it's a schedule. I think Aaron Rodgers is probably of the top guys. He's really the only one that they have to face amongst those 17 games.
Right? I mean, I go, wow, it looks pretty good, man.
Right, yeah, so you know how it changes every year, though. You know, there's teams that, you know, last year, Cincinnati, the year before, they went 4-11-1 and then went all the way to the Super Bowl. Of course, they had Joe Burrow. But, you can turn things around in 1 year.
Yes, I completely agree. I am curious to see what you think. Again, this offense, and again, anything, have you heard from the Hurts camp? Anything, we know about the Time House thing. I think I shared with you before that I got a text message from someone out in L.A. who had actually seen them and said, your boy looks good. That was it. Anything you see, anything you hear about the Hurts?
All the typical stuff that we've heard from players and Nick Sirianni and Howie, what they've said on the surface is kind of what you hear from behind the scenes, that Jalen looks good. He's doing all the stuff that he needs to do to improve, working on maybe some of the areas in which he struggled in terms of his mechanics. He probably doesn't like to talk much about the mechanics. I think one of the things that I found interesting, and I know that this is an important part of playing that position and with the guys that he's worked with, is flexibility. Improving, that'll help you improve your arm strength. That'll help you improve, working with your mechanics in terms of what, if you do have a problem of saying the ball's too high, which he tends to do every now and then, or whenever it comes in accuracy. Obviously, what you have to do with your footwork, that's something he's got to improve on. But, to me, the biggest thing that he's got to work on, and I don't know how much you can simulate that now, is just, pre-snap reads and making that split-second decision based upon what it sees post-snap. That's something you can really only do when the games are being played. Or you can certainly simulate a little bit during these scrimmages that they'll have. I don't think we'll see much of them in the preseason. But as much as Jalen can stick his nose into the playbook and maybe look at film, et cetera, he's not going to get to where he needs to do unless he starts, getting out there and seeing live action.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. It's just that when you look at this team, it keeps coming back, and we're talking to Jeff McClain from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. All roads lead back to Jalen, right? Like, you all of a sudden you start to look at the schedule, see how that crystallizes. You look at the rest of the division, and I know it's May, and I know none of it means anything, but you look at Dallas and you go, well, they didn't have a great offseason on paper. The division is up for grabs in that sense.
Right. And you could say that, maybe the roster Eagles top to bottom, aside from the quarterback, is better than even the Cowboys. A roster that should be playoff worthy. But, the quarterback position is pretty important. And Jalen has not answered questions that need to be answered about, his long-term viability, or whether just even in this year, what he can do in terms of getting the team to back to the playoffs and maybe doing something there. That's the big question. That was their, the Eagles, if you look at how he did this offseason, that would, if you are in the camp that Jalen Hurts isn't the guy, that was the area that which he fell short on, because they definitely were interested in Russell Wilson. They reached out to the Seahawks. They wanted to trade for him. They certainly were hanging around the conversation with Deshaun Watson. That was something that they, were willing to look into and possibly do. That didn't happen. So, you have to still look at the quarterback position and wonder, you know, if that's going to be the one area in which they're going to be fall short, and if the quarterback isn't playing at an area that he needs to be playing, at a level that he needs to be playing, then how much does all this other stuff really matter?
All right, so I'll hit you with this. If Jalen is on our front lobe, like everything obviously is going to, you know, revolve around him. What's second? Is it Gannon? Is it how the defense responds? What's second here?
In terms of, like, question marks?
Well, in terms of, like you said it. You know, look, it's all going to go back to Jalen, right? But what's the second item on that list?
Well, yeah, I think Gannon's got questions to answer. That team was 25th in the NFL in terms of DVOA. It didn't perform well, obviously, in the playoffs. Yes, there was a period down the stretch there where they were faring well, but that was against substandard quarterbacks. Now, that happens in the league. Every defensive coordinator struggles against top quarterbacks, and every defensive coordinator does, for the most part, well against bad quarterbacks. And the personnel was not what it needed to be. They were still transitioning to his new schemes. They're trying to get personnel to fit those schemes. So I think they've done a better job of doing that. So, I think Jonathan Gannon is certainly under the microscope here, and he has to show that his scheme works, and it's not just about the personnel, if you're looking to point a figure as to why he didn't do as well last year. So, yeah, and I think with Nick, though, Nick certainly is another guy that we don't know. His scheme last year, he did a very good job of adjusting to the personnel, and they were run based. They've made it clear this all season that's not something that they believe is sustainable over the long term, and they want to be a passing offense. But you know, teams are going to catch up on some of the stuff that Nick was doing last year, and we have to see how he counters that as well. So I think there's still a lot of questions about Nick Sirianni as a head coach and what he can do in terms of his offensive scheme. Now, a lot of that falls back on Jalen Hurts, but he has to do his best to maximize Jalen's abilities. You know, are they going to go again into the season saying, okay, we're going to be this dynamic passing offense like they did last year, and then realize 4 or 5 games into it, well, we can't do that because Jalen Hurts doesn't have those capabilities.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see if he's going to try and do that again, because I couldn't understand why they tried to do that in the first place when it was very clear we were asking these questions. I asked them these questions directly several times. Your team is your offense, the players and personnel is telling you that you need to be a run-based offense. Are you going to do that? And he said, no, we want to be this, that, or the other thing. And ends up being that they couldn't be that, and they had to be what I think a lot of people thought they'd be. But do you want a quarterback being part of the run game? And that's the big question. I don't know if that, you know, that's the way you may win, but is that the way you're going to win a championship? I don't know.
Great stuff, man. Always, just always provocative, man. They're always fun. They're always interesting. And you always have something to write about. Great stuff, as always, my brother. Listen, have a great weekend, all right? Try to beat the heat.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Anthony. We'll talk.
Thanks, buddy. Here he is, the great Jeff McClain on the Inquirer, inquirer.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.